Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the BRLC Kahlua Luncheon. I'm Linda Porel, newly elected officially, quote unquote, president of BRLC. And I'd like to welcome everybody to this gathering. Before we introduce everyone or introduce at least the head table, I would like to take a moment to remember an extremely important person to both of these organizations, to CCB in general, to ACB, and someone dear to my heart in San Francisco, Mrs. Winifred Downing, who passed away about a week and a half ago. Some of you might not have heard. A few of us will have the privilege of going to her funeral mass on Monday morning, and I'm sure that we will be taking the good wishes and condolences of this entire group to Winifred's family. She was relentless in her support of BRLC and Kahlua, and again, all of CCB. We miss her terribly already. Thank you. So if I could have just a moment of silence. Thank you. Now I'm going to hand this over to my partner in crime, Judy Wilkinson.
You know, all these years, I've somehow been the one to start. And then today I realized B comes before C. So, you know, hey, Linda should start. But I'm delighted to welcome you all and to share in the remembrance of Wynn, whom I dearly loved. Is Evelyn Drury in the room? Are you eating your nice lunch? Okay, we will bring you a mic because in a little bit we want to start the fun. So I'm just glad to know you're here, and we're going to give people a few minutes more to eat, but because we're going to want to be out by as close to one or a few minutes after, because people want to get to the general session, we're going to start our fun and games with on the lighter side in just a few moments. I want to introduce Evelyn Drury. Now, I have to tell you something. My computer has a mind of its own. And every time it types Evelyn Drury, it types Evelyn Dreary. And that's my contribution to on the funny side, on the lighter side today. Where are you, Evelyn? Evelyn? Evelyn, did she leave? Where is Evelyn? Oh, I thought I'd lost you. Okay, you're going to get to keep a mic because you're going to get to kind of talk between people. You start, and then we'll rove the mic to other people.
Another mic.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is Evelyn Drury at the mic, and some of you may remember when I did the lighter side column for our newsletter, and it was a lot of fun to do. I especially enjoyed coming to the conventions and having people come up to me and, "I love your column." Well, that's great, but you know what was happening? What was happening was I really did not get a lot of stories from you guys. And I started thinking, could not possibly be the only blind person who's had weird things and funny things happen. I just know that there's so many stories out there that I would love to hear. So when Judy asked me if I would do this today, I thought, hey, why not? Sounds like it could be fun. Maybe I'll finally get to hear those stories. And so what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to start out with a story to just get the ball rolling, And then I would love to hear your stories, because I know there's some good ones out there. And we can all come together in laughter. Okay, this one was actually in my column, so it's going to be familiar to some of you. But it was titled The Blind Purse Snatcher. And what happened was a coworker and good friend of mine several years ago. I live in Ramona, which is a rural community northeast of San Diego. And shortly after I moved there, this friend of mine and I decided to meet at North County Fair Shopping Center, which is a large indoor mall just south of Escondido. And we connected at the bus stop. And, of course, you know, we were going through our list of what do we want to be sure and do today. Neither one of us were very familiar with the mall, but we're both very adventurous. And there was a yarn shop on the third level. Both of us knit, so naturally that was on our list of things to be sure and check out. Well, eventually we got up to the third level, and, well, the best way, and you guys know this probably from your own experiences, the best way to find out where your store is to walk into the opening of a door, you know, a door, walk through, listen, kind of assess the situation where you are, maybe ask someone, hey, where's the yarn shop? So we would go into a store, make a decision, leave, keep on going. Eventually, we got into this one store, and my friend, who, by the way, still is a friend, she was just a few steps ahead of me. And she stops and she says, oh, they sell purses here. And I thought, that's not too unusual, because a lot of shops will take things on consignment. And so I'm standing there waiting for her to check out the purse. I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to go up to the rack and look at any, or wait and then go look at yarn. So she's checking the size of the purse. What is the purse made out of? All these things. And every now and then, you know how it is when you're looking at something on a display rack, the display rack would move. No problem. Eventually, she thought, well, I want to check the interior, and I want to see, you know, what kind of compartments there are. So she traces up to the top of the purse, meaning to then find the opening. No, she found the arm of a shopper. And my friend was embarrassed. And she says, oh my God, I'm so humiliated. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. And she was actually doing a little of both. The shopper was wonderful. She grabbed her hand and she says, well, do you want to buy it? And to this day, I have not figured out why the shopper kept quiet until, you know, her hand in. And I think it could be one of two things. Maybe she just didn't know how to react to this blind lady, you know, groping her bag. Or maybe she's like the rest of us and she has a good sense of humor. And she's thinking, I wonder what's going to happen next. And I do have to tell you that I am not the person you want to have with you if you do something like this. I was almost laid out on the floor laughing so hard. And she got even with me, but that's another story for another day. Okay, so I can't be the only one who has led an interesting life. Oh, good, right across the table from me. Okay.
Okay, this is Alice McGrath. Mine is very short, and it's actually when I first started losing my vision. I had low vision at that point, so I had enough vision to be dangerous, as they always say. And I went with a friend to Fioli Gardens. It's this beautiful garden area that's in Woodside, California. And then when you go after you go through the gardens, of course you go to the gift shop. And they had all of these floral materials. You know, that it was table runners and hangings and everything else. And so I was, you know, checking them out by touching them, because that's how we shop, right? We reach out and touch. And so I saw this beautiful, bright, kind of like a, looked like a Hawaiian print. And I reached out and I started, you know, touching. And it was a man wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He did the same thing. He didn't say a word, and I screamed. And so then, you know, when I just said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." I just, and he said, "No problem. It was probably better for me than it was for you."
I have it. I have the mic. She was at my table, so I just passed it across to her. I love that story. Come on, who wants to be next?
Okay, we got it? We got three other people, just two other people. We'll just do the pass it around the table. There you go, Pam.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. As some of you know, I worked for the Automobile Club of Southern California. It's right against me as it is. it sounds like it's not very loud. As some of you know, I used to be employed with the Automobile Club of Southern California, and my first position with them was working in the insurance and membership sales department. So a lot of times I would have occasion to invite persons to come into the office to purchase their memberships and or their insurance. And so I was a secretary for 14 sales agents, so you can imagine the education I got. But anyway, one day, I was talking to a gentleman who was going to come in to purchase insurance, and I was working in the city of Pasadena, and in Pasadena, there are many, many one-way streets. So I was giving this gentleman directions. So I gave him the directions as to how to arrive safely negotiating these one-way streets. So when he got there, I let the sales agent know that his client was downstairs, so of course, the gentleman I was speaking to on the phone didn't have any idea that I couldn't see. So my sales agent went downstairs, and they conducted their business transaction. And he came back upstairs, and he was laughing, and he said, "You're not going to believe what happened." I said, "What?" He said, my client said, "You know, your secretary gave me such good directions as to how to get here that I could get here with my eyes closed." Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your story. And I hear, I think at the table behind me, there are two people, I believe,
excuse me,
who want
but,
to share.
Excuse me, we have a couple people at this table. Can we just do that? Or? Okay. So this is Linda Johnson. And I was hired by Peninsula Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired in the early 90s. And we were going through a couple different supervisors and whatnot. And I was low vision at the time. I have retinitis pigmentosa. And we just hired this really wonderful supervisor. She was supervising my internship hours as a therapist, a marriage family therapist. And one of my things to save money was to always bring my lunch with me to work. And this supervisor was very prim and proper and just a perfectionist. And I go to the kitchen, and I proceed to go pull out my lunch, bring it to my, I opened up my lunch there, and I bring out the can, and I'm just walking with the can in my hand going, oh, I can't wait to have this Diet Coke. This is really great. And so I go and I sit down just very casually, and I'm sitting there getting my sandwich out, putting my soda. And all the while, my new supervisor is watching me go through the office and do this whole procedure. And then I pop the top, and I take a sip, and I go, yuck! And it was like a beer! And I'm like, I'm like walking through the whole office, and this new supervisor and I go, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. And Jean goes, yes, Linda, I was wondering what you were doing.
Been there, done that.
Hello, everybody. This is Vivian Younger, and I'm going to tell you a hotel story. Well, this is when we had the convention in Kentucky.
Oh, can you hear me now? Okay, this is a hotel story, and this happened when we were in Kentucky. So we had to kind of walk a mile from one tower to the other. So I asked someone for directions, and it was the person supposedly that worked there. I go, can you show me where the pool is? Because I left my dog in the room. It was 90 degrees. I wasn't about to leave her out in the unshaded area. So I go, thank you, sir, very much. I went out, and the girl went clomp, and all I heard was traffic. Well, the thing is all I had on was my bathing suit, cover up, and a room card. And then I was wondering, well, I'm hearing the freeway. What do I do? Do I go ahead and, you know, take the cover off and shake it? Will they see me up here? I need help. Well, I didn't know what to do. At any rate, what I did was I finally said, okay, remember your mobility skills. Go back to the door. So I'm sliding my hand along the windows, and all of a sudden, I knock on the window, and this person goes, what the blank are you doing in the balcony? Here I am. So then I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know these people. And so I said, well, you know, I'm at the CC. So are we. And I said, that's okay. I have martial arts. If there's a problem going through the room, then I can take care of them. But anyway, after that, I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to always ask two people where I'm going, not just one.
Okay. See, who's next?
Okay. I have a story. Many years ago.
Could you tell us your name? That'd be great if each one of you would precede your story with your name.
My name is Pete Romero. And many years ago, I was flying Southwest Airlines, and I wanted to bring something along to read. This is before the days of iPods. And so I took a Playboy magazine, started reading it and enjoying it, and after a little while, a woman says to me, young man, I was young then, she said, may I just tell you, I've never seen a person read Braille before. I think that's marvelous. May I ask you what it is you're reading? And so I dutifully told her, it's Science Digest. So I kept reading, and she was very happy that they made these magazines available for blind folks, and how nice, and have a nice day. Well, right about then, the drinks came by, so of course I had to close the magazine up. Close the magazine up, and all of a sudden I heard these guys start laughing. And this one guy tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, dude. I said, yeah. He goes, some science, huh? And I said, yeah, what are you talking about? He goes, man, it says in Playboy in print right on the front of the magazine. That's my story.
I know, huh? Who else wants it?
Okay, I think we're going to pass the microphone to the table behind me. Should I just reach back with this one? Okay.
I'm not telling those stories because if I told them, everybody'd know.
Okay, this is Leslie Tom, and I have to tell, a few years ago, we went on a cruise with, and some people here were on that cruise, with the group from ACB and family and friends. And we went, we were going to Belize and Costa Rica, not Panama, Peru. And so my friend and I, who's at the convention, so I don't, I'm not going to mention her name at this point. But her husband was taking us. We needed to go to the restrooms. And so her husband at that was low vision also. And so he took us to the restroom. And he showed us the door. And apparently, you know, back then, I guess the doors didn't have whether they were men's or women's on them. It just had a sign up there that said restroom. And so we proceeded to go to the door on the left, and we went in. And she went in a stall and everything, and I was going in, you know, I was still in the main part. And and another friend of ours came in, you know, he was already in there. And she heard him talking, and she's like, "Hey, this is the women's restroom. You get out of here." And so I was embarrassed at that point because I realized we were the wrong one. And he and I both went out the door. And right after that, when we were talking to him, because he was also our table mate, he said, "Hey," she said, "get out." And I was gone. I had to go. And I was so, he was just so embarrassed. And I was like totally embarrassed. And she was too, but she had already gone in and it was gone. So I was like, oh my God. She kicked everybody, all the guys out.
And about time too.
Oh, so that was a fun cruise, and because we just had a real quick other incident. My daughter got her on Belize. My daughter got her hair braided real well, you know, and on top of her head like they did it in Belize. And so we were trying to show my friend, the same person, her hair, and my daughter was there, you know, going to show her. We were sitting at our lunch table, and the waiter happened to be behind her. So she didn't know, when she was reaching up, feeling her hair, that it was his hair. And he's all, what'd you do to my hair? What did you do? And so the rest of the cruise, and after that, we still, you know, the main person on the cruise, leader, he would always say when he saw her, did you go in the right restroom? Did you go in the right? And we were just so like, oh my God, it was embarrassing. But it was hilarious. Okay.
I am here to tell all of you, I'm Lynn Coates, sorry. Okay. I am here to tell all of you that Sheldon Cooper really exists. Okay. Back when I was in college, and actually Leslie was in college with me. I'm sorry. All right. So there really is a Sheldon Cooper, and I'm going to tell you about him. When we both, Leslie and I, were in college, there was this instructor. And this instructor was just so anal about everything. And one day, we decided he needed to have a little intervention or a little lesson taught to him. So I said, okay, I'm going to describe to you what he's wearing. And when he comes in, you compliment him on what he's wearing. Get real detailed about it. So he comes in, and Leslie says, "Ray, that's a really nice red shirt you have on. And that gold chain around your neck, that's really beautiful." And Ray's like, "Thank you, thank you. He went out, came back in. He goes, oh, my God, how did you know? And because she's totally blind. And he, for the rest of the day, he just how, you know, he was still stunned by it. So there really is a Sheldon Cooper, because we really fooled him that day.
Is there any more people at that table with the story?
We actually, can we have the, we need some quiet, please, so that people can share their stories. Do we have anybody who wants to share a story? Okay, who's that? I'm coming with you, Gail. Getting you the mic.
I'm Gail Crossan, and this is a story that happened at work. Most of my working experience.
Okay. And talk into the mic. Pretend it's your best friend and you're kissing it.
Well, okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Gail Crossan, and this is a workplace story. Much of my career happened on a very large installation. There were a lot of buildings and a lot of grounds, and I did a lot of walking. And one day a week, I was needed in an administrative meeting, and then I'd go into my regular workshop. So this particular day, I had a long-term supervisor that I always had an excellent relationship with, and she was aware of my situation. And low down. Okay.
A little bit more into the mic.
God, my lips are on it already. Anyway, we got along really well. And this particular day, my meeting went a little later. So I got over to the workshop, signed in. And she was there. And I, how are you doing? Good. And she said, it must have been a long meeting. I said, it was. And I told her what we did. And she said, oh, well, then I understand. Besides, you have to find a parking place over here.
I'll take that. How many in this room know Bill Gary? Does anybody know Bill Gary? This is one of my favorite Bill Gary stories. He was at a conference, and a lot of blind people were there. So it had to do with Smith Kettlewell, where he worked. And somebody that in the restaurant, you know, saw a bunch of these blind people come in, and the person said, gee, how do you all know each other? And one of their crowd, and I forget who, totally deadpan, said, we all went to different schools together. That gets funnier the more you think about it. Who else would like to tell a story? Steve's got a story.
Oh, good.
And then Maria's got a story. This table gets its chance. Okay.
Steve Mendelson here. Years ago, I was waiting for a bus. It happens it was on Thanksgiving, so I guess people were in strange moods. Anyway, there was crowding in front of me.
A little bit more into the mic.
There was crowding in front of me. There was a line of people in front of me, so I could not get onto the bus. And a person behind me started shoving me, started pushing me. So I turned around and said, stop pushing. The guy said, I'm not pushing. I said, you could have fooled me. One thing led to another, and we had a little discussion about it. And then people along the line started to chime in, you know, on his side or on my side. Don't push the blind guy around. Mind your own business. You know, moral philosophy. And a giant argument broke out. 10 people screaming at each other. And finally, I turned back around. And there was nobody in front of me. The line was gone completely. So as I got on the bus, I could still hear all the people behind me yelling at each other. It was awful.
I think you had to have been there.
Okay. Have I got this thing? Okay. I am not going to tell your story, Frank. No. This is the story about, we'd been married, maybe a little over a year, I guess. And I was expecting our first little guy. And this is just a month or two before his birth. And it was a very special occasion. My husband was becoming a U.S. citizen.
A little bit more into the mic. Mm.
Okay, my husband was becoming a U.S. citizen, and I was there in the audience. And we were excited. And anyway, and as I was sitting there, a gentleman came up to me and shoved his camera in my hand and said, "When I go up there, take my picture." And I said, "No, sir, I can't do that." And he says, "Of course you can. It's really simple. Let me show you." And I said, but I can't." And he, anyway, and he just ran away and left his camera in my hand. Luckily for him, a woman sitting next to me figured out the problem and did it for him. But it was a good story. And the one that my husband wanted me to tell was a little bit X-rated, and I'm not doing it.
What time is it getting to be? Do we?
12:57.
It's not quite one yet. So we have time for a couple more stories. Who's is that? What Debbie wanted? I heard Debbie
There's
first,
Debbie.
And then I heard a gentleman. Who's that? John? Oh, John! Wait, no. You have to defer to our guest from Arizona, Debbie. I'll get back to you. Where are you, John? Welcome to our great state. This is the second vice president of the American Council of the
Blind. That's right. What are we? The American. Yes. Thank you so much, guys. It's an honor to be here and enjoy your luncheon here. It was awesome chicken. And I'm looking forward to the remainder of the convention, although I will be holed up so I, you know, don't sound like a total fool around 8:20-ish tonight. But be that all as it may, I don't know why it took me this long to think of the story because I always come back to it. I just started college. And I just started to make friends with this guy. His name is Larry, you know, and a little slower. Oh, more into the mic? Okay, I'll have to. Yeah, I really am kissing this, too, so if other people have. Yeah, I get it. So, you know, when there's the beginning of a friendship, he's obviously gotten, at some level, he's gotten over the blindness issue, and, you know. So, at this time, we returned to the dorm, and right around early evening, there was he had one of these cassette boombox type of things, and there was a FM station that was doing old-time radio. Now, I dare say there's a lot of people in here who like old-time radio. I'm one of them, though I do not bid as high as some people bid on the auctions for those items. Though as an officer of ACB, I will tell you I'm very glad that there are people that do that. John Glass comes to mind immediately, to be sure. But in any case, so I wanted to record this one radio show. I don't know why. And Larry's in the game room. So I run down to the game room and said, "Larry, how do you work this? How do you get it to record, you know, a show?" And he said, "Oh, it's the red button. It's, you know, right there." And I didn't want to embarrass him because we were really, you know, our friendship was just starting out. So I ran back and said, "I'll figure it out. I'll get it together somehow so I don't have to, you know, tell him, you know." So it doesn't work. I go back, "Larry, which, you know, I'm having a little trouble with, which one?" "It's the red button, and it's over on this side." And I said, "Oh, I'll try again." Doesn't work. Go back a third time. I said, "It's the red button. You can't miss it. It's right to the," he starts going on. "It's the red button. You can't miss it." I kind of pushed my cane toward him, put my hand over my eyes, said, "Larry, I can miss it."
Yeah.
After which he felt like garbage. But, you know, and later on, you know, he had a few beers and he said, "How could you have thought that was funny?" I said, "Larry, you didn't do it to be cute or to be, you know, I mean, it happens, you know."
Here you go. Okay, thank you. Debbie, you were next. Where are you? I hear you. I'm coming. It's a little harder to get. I'm getting there. Where are you? And then, there you are.
Okay.
And then this is the last story.
Okay. I told Evelyn this story the other day, and she said, "Oh, you have to tell the group." In 1983, this is Debbie Barry, by the way. In 1983, I went to Ski for Light and bought this nice down parka that happened to be bright pink. Okay? Fast forward 14 years later. My ex-husband, it was raining, and his coat was at the cleaners. And being the wonderful wife I was, I said, "Well, you know what? I have this down parka you could wear. It might be a little warm for you." I had forgotten what color it was. No, honest. And he went to work, came home, and he said, "Do you know what happened today?" And I said, "Well, everybody was giving me they were teasing me all day about this bright pink coat I was wearing. And where did you get this coat?" He said, "My wife. My wife gave it to me to wear today." I still laugh about that. And the thing is, he wasn't upset. I mean, we had the greatest laugh about it when he came home. But I could just see it. Well, who gave you this to wear? My wife.
My loving wife.
Okay. Give it back to you, Evelyn, for a final few words.
Okay. Well, have you guys enjoyed hearing each other's stories? And so now you know that I'm not the only one who chooses to look on the lighter side. And I loved hearing your stories, too, and I hope maybe at some point we can do something similar. So you guys go ahead. Have a great rest of the convention. And always look on the lighter side.
And she's going to do a column later in the year.
That's right.
A guest appearance for the Blind Californian. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. The general session starts at 1:30. Have a wonderful rest of the convention. Linda, do you want to? Where are you? I lost you. I'll never find you. Oh, there you are. Yes. Ah! Who's collecting dues? Frank, is Frank still here? I'm collecting dues. Who's that? Alice, you have paid your dues. Yes. Okay, say farewell.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. Perhaps as Evelyn was finishing up, Steve and I were almost breaking into a chorus of, "Always look on the bright side of life."
There you go.
We should adopt that as our theme song. So thanks, everyone, for coming. It's a wonderful event.
It's been fun.